Amen. You may be seated. Welcome if you're here for the first time. Tonight is a special service. It's not a normal service. We call it Activate Sunday, and it's really all about our NGOs, MPOs, our community development projects that we as church either run or support. And it's an opportunity to showcase what we are doing as a church, but more specifically to give you an opportunity to be part of that. And that's really what tonight is all about. In case you didn't know, that is our agenda, to get you involved. That's what tonight is about. So there, I've said it now, so now we can go on. You know what's so amazing about God? God is a giver. He is a giver. You know, it's amazing that we serve a worshiping, or we're worshiping and serving a giving God. He gave us life. He gave us life. We messed it up, and then He gave us His Son to redeem us. And then He blessed us with His Holy Spirit that now lives in us. God gave everything. The Father gave His Son. He gave His Spirit. God gave us everything. You know, we serve and we worship a giving God. And you know what's so amazing about that? Now that we are born again into His family, we bear His name, He wants us to reflect, to become like Him in this world. Now that He's given us everything and we're welcomed into His family, we are called the children of God, we bear His name, we have received His Spirit, He wants us to become like Him in this world. He wants us to be light into this darkness. The darkness all around us, the poverty, the pain, the hurt. God is calling us as His sons and daughters to be the light in this world. He's sending us out as ambassadors to reflect who He is in this dying, needing, desperate world. That is the purpose of the children of God on earth. That is why you are not raptured the day you are saved. That's why we are still here. Because God has an affirmative agenda. And we are the tools, the conduits, the tools that He's going to use to establish that agenda on this earth. That is why we are still here. And that is what tonight is all about. He gave us forgiveness and He expects us to forgive others also. He gives us love and He expects us to love in the same manner. He wants us to become like Him, to reflect Him in this earth. You know, once Jesus was asked a trick question. It was asked, and I preached about it before. What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus answered them very powerfully and very profoundly by saying, the greatest commandment starts with the first one, and that is that you must love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, everything that is in you, you must love God. And then He said something profound. He said, equal to this, the same stature, the same standard, the same likeness, the same measure than this first one is that you must love your neighbor as yourself. And what made it so profound that God is saying, it is not enough that you just love Me. I mean, that's the obvious thing as a God and you, My people, that you must love Me with everything. But you know what? Equal to this is that you must love your neighbor. It is not enough that you only love Me. You must love the things that I love. Because I want you to become like I am. I want you to be My representative in this world. So it is not enough just to love Me. You must become like Me and love the things that I love. And that is the God that we serve. And over above the fact that He wants us to reflect His likeness, when we do so, God says, I'm going to bless you even more. I want to bless you as you become like Me. You know, it's one thing that God would expect us to do something. It's another thing to understand that God actually wants to bless us as we do what He wants us to do. Isn't that amazing? I mean, God could have actually demanded that we do what He expects us to do, full stop. But then God goes beyond that and He says, but listen here, as you do what I want you to do, I'm going to bless you as you do it. Because I am a giving God. I'm a loving Father. I want to bless you. I want to give because that is who I am. And God wants us to reflect that nature of Him in who we are. And whenever we think about giving in Scripture, you know, there's always three types. that comes to mind, you know, the tithes, the offerings, and the alms. And it's so powerful to understand these three types of giving within Scripture. You know what? The tithe is really the acknowledgement of God. The reason we tithe is to acknowledge that God is the source of our income. And that is why we tithe. We acknowledge Him. It's very powerful because we're saying we're putting our faith in You and not in money. And we acknowledge You that You are the source of everything that I have. So when we tithe, we acknowledge who God is. And then the second type of giving is the offering. The offering is really thanksgiving to God. We are saying, God, I want to bless You. I want to worship You. I want to praise You, God. And as an act of praise to You, God, I give my offering. And that is what offerings is. And then thirdly, there's the alms, the giving of what we have to the poor. And that alms are meant to reflect who God is. Reflect who He is, reflect His nature as we give to those who have nothing, those who lack, those who are suffering, those who are desperate, those who are destitute, those who are in bondage. God wants us to give to them, to reflect to them who He is so that they can have hope. That's really what is the difference between those who have and those who do not have. You know, those who are in poverty, they have no hope. We are sitting here today and we are blessed. We have so much to be thankful for. God has given us so much, not just in resources, in skills, in abilities, in opportunities. We can dream about tomorrow. We can dream about becoming something. You know what? The poor, they don't have that. They've lost that hope. Their only hope is for a meal for tomorrow. They have no dream about the future. They do not think what they will become, a doctor, an engineer, an astronaut. They do not think and dream what their children will become. Their only concern is tomorrow. Will I have something to eat? And we are here tonight as we are sitting in these seats. You know what? We are blessed exceedingly. We have been blessed. I mean, the fact that you are born into the families that you are born is a huge blessing. The fact that you're born into this nation, you could have been born in India in the untouchable class with nothing. But God has chosen you and He has blessed you. We are privileged as we are here today. And you know, whenever someone talks about giving, the first thought that comes up, of course, is normally tithing. And then inevitably, we come to this debate about tithing, whether it's a law or a principle. It's almost like that trick question about the greatest commandment. Now, who can tell me? Tithing, is it a law or is it a principle? It's a trick question. Is tithing a law or is it a principle? Now, who says it's a law? Just raise your hand. Let's see. One, two, three. I've got three. I've got four. Do I have five? I've got five. I've got six. Do I have seven? There's seven. I've got seven. Eight. I've got eight. Do I have nine? There's nine. 10, 11, 12, 13. I've 14. I've got 14. Okay, who says it's a principle? Woo! Okay. It's very interesting. You know what? Is it a law or is it a principle? Well, if it's a law, because we're under grace, I don't need to give. And if it's a principle, I don't have to give either, because it all depends on my circumstances and how I interpret the principle. It's very interesting, eh? Depending on your definition. Well, I believe it's neither. I believe it's a spiritual truth. I mean, it doesn't change. You know, it's almost like, you know, we need to understand that the law was given as a description of the truth. The law is not the end in itself. The law is simply giving us an understanding, a description, an idea of this truth. And normally a law is not the full description or revelation of the truth. It's only a glimpse of it, helping us to understand, giving us guidance to understand the truth. But it's not the truth in itself. It's simply a description of the truth. It's like gravity. What is gravity? Is it a law or a principle? Who says it's a law? Gravity. Woo! Who says it's a principle? Well, what a discrepancy. Do you notice the discrepancy? When I talk about tithing, everybody says it's a principle. And when I talk about gravity, then everybody says it's a law. But it doesn't really matter what the debate is, whether it's a law or a principle. You know what happens when you drop something? It doesn't matter whether you're still debating whether it's a law or a principle, or you're trying to figure out what it is. It doesn't really matter. And while we're still talking and debating whether gravity is a law or a principle, you know, it works. It goes on. And we can continue debating the fact whether it's a principle or a law. It doesn't really change the truth, does it? Because gravity is truth. And how you describe it doesn't really matter. What you believe in, it doesn't really matter, because it's there. It's the truth. And so too is giving. It doesn't matter whether you debate whether it's a principle or a law, it's still going to happen. It doesn't change the truth. You see, giving is a spiritual truth. And so many people, I get so annoyed by this. Debate whether it's a principle or a law. You know, it's like murder. What is murder? Is it a law or a principle? Or adultery. What about adultery? Is adultery a law or a principle? Or is it a truth? I mean, if it's a law, we're under grace, then means, well, I don't have to abide by it. I can sleep around, even though I'm married. Or if it's a principle, well, then it depends on the situation. I mean, it depends whether my wife is fat or thin. Or whether we had an argument or not. Because it's just a principle after all. You know, and then comes Jesus and he says, you know what? It's not a principle nor a law. It's a truth. I tell you, you know, the law says you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you, the truth is, if you even look at a woman and lust after her, you've already broken the truth. So, you know, is tithing a principle or a law? Is giving a principle or a law? No. It's the truth. That's who God is. He's a giving God, and he expects us to represent, to reflect, to become like him. He wants us to give also. And that's the amazing thing about God. He wants us to become like him. You know, the point I'm trying to make is that giving is a truth. Giving is not a principle, it's not a law, it's the truth. That's who God is. He's a giving God. You know what? I was a student once, long ago. And after I studied, I went to YWAM. And I spent a year there preparing for the mission field. And while I was there, I saved enough money while I was in the military. And I could fund myself. Going all kinds of great adventures all over Africa. And at the end of that year, my funding was depleted. And then God called me to serve the church, and I did the first internship program. And while I was still in YWAM, my folks, they gave me 300 rand a month pocket money. And then when I depleted my own funds and I joined the church on a full-time capacity, the first thing my parents asked, so what are they going to pay you? So I had to inform my parents, no, nothing. I'm going to live in faith. So how are you going to survive? No, I'm going to live in faith. You know, it didn't make sense to my parents. So, you know, like any good parents, they said, no, but we will pay for you. Because, I mean, we can't think of the fact that you're going to sleep on the streets and have no food to eat. Because that's immediately what's going through their mind. You know, if you don't have money, if you don't have an income, how are you going to survive in a town like Stellenbosch? You know, it's an expensive place. And I told my parents, you know what? I actually don't want you to support me financially. You can continue to pay me the 300 rand pocket money. But I want to show you that God is faithful. I want this to be a testimony of God's faithfulness and his provision. For myself, but also for you. And my money was running out. I was on the payphone. So I had to cut the conversation short. And I had to tell my dad, sorry, you know, I can't continue this debate, but I want you to only pay 300 rand a month. And I'm going to trust God as a testimony of his faithfulness to you and to me. And I have to stop now because my money is up. And that's pretty much the end of the conversation. And you know what? In those days, it was a bit cheaper. I mean, a room was about, you know, a single room in a house would have cost you about 1,000 rand a month. And food for the month, if you live on baked beans, was about 300. And, you know, and if you, you know, you still needed to travel and do all the things that interns do, you know. So, you know, you had to have at least 1,500. And I had 300. But I understand the truth of giving. So I tithed on the 300, even though it wasn't enough for what I needed. I tithed on my 300 rand, and then I still gave offering of that also. And the amazing thing is, the truth actually works, whether you believe in it or not. And you know what? Within 3 weeks, the first 3 weeks, I had to follow up a phone call of one of my friends that was working at the Marty Basings, whatever they call themselves today. And she had a phone call of a gentleman that had a room available for students, and she really couldn't figure out what he wants. So I went there on her behalf, and I said, and I knocked at the door, and the old gentleman opened up the door in his 80s. And I said, sir, I'm just here on behalf of the Marty, you know, Basings, whatever they were. And apparently you have a room available. I'm just here to get the details. He said, ja my seun, ek het 'n kamer beskikbaar vir 100 rand 'n maand. Ek sê, oom maak seker 'n fout. Dis seker 100 rand 'n week. Hy sê, nee my seun, dis 100 rand 'n maand. Ek sê, oom, ek sal dit vat. It's amazing how God works. Because the truth does not change. God doesn't change. God is a giver and he wants us to reflect him in our giving. You know, it's like Matthew chapter 6. You know, we all know that where it says, therefore I tell you, you know, Matthew chapter 6 verse 25. I think the NIV is behind me. I've got the New King James. It doesn't matter. It's the same Greek. Nevertheless, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? And then we know the rest of the scripture, and then it ends on this, and he says, but first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It's an amazing scripture, but it starts with my favorite word in English, therefore. You know this, hey? So what does therefore mean? Okay, therefore is always between a promise and a premise. This is the promise. The promise is, do not worry about what you will eat, or what you will drink, about what you will wear. Don't worry about life. Seek first God and his kingdom, and all these things shall be added to you. That's the promise. Now, what is the premise of this promise? It's verse 24, just before the therefore. Have you ever read verse 24 before? Well, I want to encourage you, whenever you see a therefore, go look, what is the premise? Anyway, the premise is, no one can serve two masters, for they will either hate the one or love the other, or else will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And if you choose God, therefore, you do not need to worry about life. And that's the amazing thing. If you choose God, you do not need to worry about life. You know what? The premise of the promise. And I'm saying that today because you need to choose whether you're going to put your trust in money. And then you can worry about all the things you have to worry about. And there'll be enough to do that. Or you can put your trust in God. And that's so amazing because God is a giving God. And he wants us to understand his heart. And that's what I want to share with you about this particular word. You know, giving is a truth, and there is consequence and design behind it. Giving is a spiritual truth, and there is consequence and a specific design behind it. That's the way God created it. There is purpose in giving. Because God is giving. It's like love, you know. There's purpose, there's design, there's consequence in us loving. You know, in Genesis, we see here, right in the beginning, God speaks to Abram. And the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Give it away. And I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will give to you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. I mean, it's so amazing. God is saying, listen here, I want you to give away something, but I'm going to bless you. I'm going to prosper you. And there is purpose. There's design behind me blessing and prospering you, because I want you to be a blessing to all the families of the world. So the reason that I'm going to bless you is so that you can become a conduit, a vehicle through which you can bless all the families of the world. So the purpose of blessing you, Abram, is that you must become the conduit of that blessing. And we know that that scripture, that promise, that prophecy was fulfilled through Christ. But that promise still remains today, because through our faith in Him, we have become children of Abram and heirs of the same promise. You are blessed for a purpose. God is blessing you for a purpose. He is blessing each one of us with the abilities, with the skills, with the opportunities for a purpose. To be a conduit so that He can bless the world, so that we can become light, so that we can produce hope, so that we can reflect God through our giving. That's why God is blessing you, in case you haven't wondered. That's why you're not born in India among the untouchables. That's why you're sitting here today in this town with this opportunity and all the resources to your disposal. God is blessing you with a purpose, and He wants you to be a conduit. God is saying to Abram, I'm going to use you as a conduit. I'm going to bless the world through you. Today is about giving, and not specifically to the church, but giving to the poor. That is what tonight is about. It's about giving to the... That's why we have all these NGOs and MPOs that we're involved in, that we have started, that we are supporting. It is because we understand this principle. Here is another spiritual truth for you, Proverbs 19, verse 17. It says, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will repay him for his deed. I mean, isn't that amazing? Whoever gives to the poor lends to God. And God is no debtor of man. He says, I will repay you for your deed. And you know what's amazing about God? God is a generous God. He's going to give you far more than what you gave. I can testify that the first 6 years of my ministry was in kind money with Prochorus in Clutersville and Ida's Valley. And that's what I did. I served the poor. And you know what? In that 6 years, I discovered that this is like that bottle that's going up. It's a spiritual truth. And I realized all the tears and the effort and the giving and the serving and everything that I invested in the poor, God paid me back with interest. In the end of those 6 years, somebody blessed me with a flat, fully paid. Somebody blessed me with a Bucky, a Nissan. It was amazing. God does not change. He said, if you give to the poor, you lend to me and I will pay you back. You know, we serve an awesome God. And giving is not just restricted to money. It's about giving yourself, your time, your skills, your prayers, your support, your service. So please, our appeal for tonight, in this day, is not for your money per se. It's an appeal for you. Your life, your ability, your skills, your time. You can read and write. You know God. You have a relationship with Him. You have hope. You have abilities. And that's really what we are appealing for. You know what? There's some of those projects out there. They need you far more than they need your money. They need people. They need people that know God, people that have hope, people that can inspire, people that can teach, people that can disciple, people that can love, people that can be there for the kids and the adults and the poor and the destitute and the broken and the captive. God is looking for conduits. We are His children. We are called His people. We are called Christians, Christ-like, little Christs. And God says, I want you to go into the world and I want you to be light into this dark, desperate world. I want you to show hope. I want you to reflect who I am so that people will be drawn to me. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 from verse 6 to 15, we read about giving and generosity, whatever you have, whoever you are. And I want us just to remain on that slide. You don't need to change it. But it says something powerful about giving. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver because He is a cheerful giver. And because the truth about giving is the attitude in the heart that is more important about the amount that you give or what you give. That is really the truth behind giving. It's about the attitude in which we give. And God is saying, listen, yeah, I am going to bless you with a lot, but I want you to bless others also with the same generosity in which I have poured out toward you. I want you to bless others. And it is about the attitude, because in the attitude you are meant to reflect who I am, the source of everything that you have. And when you give and how you give, that is meant to reflect God. And then it continues here in verse 9, and it says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Because you are the conduit. And I want to bless you so that you can bless others. As it is written, He has scattered abroad His gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, verse 10, He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I mean, isn't that amazing? God says, you are the conduits. And I'm going to bless you so that you can bless others. I'm going to make you rich in every way so that you can be generous in every way. And as you give, I'm going to bless you more, so that you can give more. I mean, that's really what God is saying. He says here in verse 9, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. The purpose of God blessing you is so that you can be prepared for all good work, that you will abound in every good work. That is the purpose of His grace. In verse 10 it says, now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase the store of your seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Isn't that amazing? That's God speaking. Rich in every way, not just in money, but in time, in ability, in service. And why does God want us to be generous on every occasion? Because your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Our giving reflects God, and God is glorified. Because there's going to be somebody that has no hope, that has no future, that is destitute, that is poor. And somebody comes in the name of God and blesses them with their need. And they're going to respond. They're going to say, what an awesome God that knows me, that heard my cry, my prayers, my desperation. I was fearing my life, and here somebody comes in the name of God and blesses me. What an awesome God. He lives. He hears. He sees me. He knows me. God is glorified. And that's why God wants to bless us. And that's why we are blessed today, is so that we can be generous, so that people can know Him. So that we can be reflecting Him in our giving. You know, verse 12 says, the service that you perform is not only supplying in the needs of God's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for the generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. You see, it's so awesome. It says, because of our giving, it will result in overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because our giving creates a platform. It creates a platform where we can share. It says, and also, men will praise God. Isn't that amazing? Men will praise God because of our giving, and for the obedience. Obedience of what? Obedience to the truth of giving. Because of your obedience to giving, and that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. In other words, your giving creates a platform where you can share the gospel. And God is glorifying. And that's really God's heart, His purpose, His design behind giving. And that's why God is blessing you. And He wants to bless you even more as you give. And not only that, it says here, and in the praise, verse 24, you need to go back to that slide. And in the praise, in their praise for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surprising or surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. I'll read this again. And in their praise for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given to you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. You know what? It is a cycle in which God is continually glorified. You know what? God gives, He blesses us with time, ability, skills, opportunity, money. You can name it. God blesses us. We give what we receive from God. It starts with that receiving. We thank God for what He gives to us. Then we start giving that. God is glorified as we receive. We thank Him. Then we start giving that as a reflection of who He is. Those who receive it is glorified. God is glorified in the act of giving because we reflect who He is. And people say, wow, this is amazing. God is glorified. The recipients of those gifts, they thank God. God is glorified again. They say, wow, this is amazing. God is so good. He cares. He loves. So recipients thank and praise God for the provision. And then they ask God to bless you because you're the conduit. And God is glorified because they call on His name and they say, God, this guy is so amazing. He came in your name and he met my need. God, I pray that you will bless him. And God is glorified. And then God blesses you. Because you're not just representing Him. There are others that praise for you. And then say, and then God blesses those who gave. And you will be made rich in every way so that then you can be generous on every occasion. And then it even continues and it says, and He will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. And then the cycle begins again. God blesses you even more. God is worshipped, he's glorified. You start to give in a reflection of who he is. God is worshipped and glorified. Those who have nothing receive. God is glorified. They pray for you. God is glorified. God blesses you. God is glorified. And then you start all over again. And that's the amazing thing about giving. And that brings me to the end of my time. So I'm going to pray, but you know what? The altar call tonight is not to come forward, but to go to the stalls before I pray. I'm making the altar call now. Go to the stalls and ask God, how can you get involved? What do you have to share, to give of that what he has given to you? I mean, we have an opportunity to glorify God through sharing with others that what he's given to you. So tonight's altar call is simply to go and to connect with the people behind those tables and to ask them about what they are doing and to see if there's something that you can contribute so that his name can be glorified. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your awesome love for us. God, I want to thank you that you have given us life, you have given us salvation. God, you have blessed us with resources, with capacity, with abilities, with opportunities. God, you have given us so much. And Lord, we want to worship, we want to thank you, God, for everything that you have given us, Lord. And Lord, we want to thank you even for this opportunity tonight to give to others, God, to get involved in the community, Lord, to reflect who you are, God, as an awesome, great, loving, giving God. Lord, I pray, Lord, every heart here, Lord, as we think about the things that you have blessed us with, God, all the opportunities and abilities and talents and resources, Lord, we want to thank you. We want to thank you, Father, for everything that you've given us, Lord. And I want to pray, Father, that you will stir in our hearts, God, a thanksgiving. But Lord, I pray that that thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord, will continue, God, to manifest in an attitude of giving to those around us. God, and I pray that as we leave this place, Lord, that we will connect with people that has given their life to serve the people in your heart, Lord. And I pray that we will become with them sons and daughters, light bearers, ambassadors into this world that will bring a reflection, a fragrance of you, God, in this desperate, dark world around us. Amen.